Just want to thank you for the opportunity to be in your house and to be in your presence. Lord, I just pray that you would anoint this portion of the message as you have the beginning, the worship, the offering. Speak to us tonight, Lord. In your name, amen. Most of us that are in this room are old enough to remember this old song, but I realize it's not necessarily about age. It's about whether or not you were in the church when the song was sung. And it's, he's brought me to his banqueting table. His banner over me is love. And as I was listening to the worship and the offering message just now, the table's been set. His presence is here. And every single one of the songs that was sung tonight mentioned something that I had in my heart to mention already tonight, as well as the offering message. So I think it's clear that the Lord wants to speak to us. Will we listen? Will we hear him? I ask it both ways because there's a difference between hearing and listening. I can hear things all the time, but I choose what I listen to and what I don't. With that being said, you know, the Lord gave me this idea, and I really didn't know what would become of it, but it was just two words: insufficient sufficiency. And I went, wow. Here in America, we have a spirit of self-sufficiency. And it's insufficient in every way, shape, and form. I got thinking as I was preparing and praying, and I asked my son for some help with this on the way here. What are some things that might make people anxious? Jobs, money, children, relationships, crowds, illness, being on time when you're supposed to be somewhere, interviews, driving, tests, injuries, debt. I said, okay, what are some things that we put our trust in? Ironically, this list closely mirrors the anxious list. Government, military, strength, intelligence, jobs, money, future, cars, pilots, spouses, relationships, machines, the Bible, God. And then I asked my son, what are some things that people might say that they're thankful for? And he said, the love of God, the word of God, our ministries, the Constitution, relationships, money, the military, and our culture. I'm sure we could go on and on and on. And we could fill volumes of things that make us anxious, or things that we put our trust in, and things that we're thankful for. Go ahead and turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, although I was thinking I might. For time's sake, we're going to shorten the chapter a little bit. Therefore, my beloved, starting in verse 1, therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore some people to be of the same mind in the Lord. Does anybody else do that when they're reading? You get to some of these names and you just go, yeah, next. Sometimes I do that. So I implore some people to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. All right, I'm going to pause right there. That's a lot. A couple things I want to point out. In verse 4, where it says, rejoice in the Lord always, we think about that word, rejoice, and I was listening to a podcast today, and the R-E prefix, re, means to go back to, and they were talking about this very concept, and I chuckled, because I knew I was going to be talking about it tonight already. So to go back to a thing that brought you joy. To rejoice is to focus on a thing that has brought you joy and to think on that thing. I was listening to Grace Hour with Pastor Matt Garrett and Pastor Roger Robbins, and I know some of us are musicians and some of us are not, but some of us might be sports fans, some of us not. Either one of those. If you've ever seen a team that's in the flow or musicians jamming together and they're just in the flow and they're riffing off each other and they're just, one will play something on a guitar, the other will echo it. Or this team, one person does this, the other person does that. And it's just, it's the flow is there. They're in a flow state and it's beautiful. That Grace Hour was that. The flow between Pastor Matt and Pastor Roger was just awesome to listen to. And it tied into a lot of what I was going to be saying here. They talked about, so it was either in the podcast I was listening to or them, but between the two of them, they were talking about this idea of joy. And when you're in a time where you aren't feeling the joy. This was from the podcast. You can close your eyes and you can think about something that has brought you joy in the past. And you kind of paint this mental picture in your mind. And as you do that, you find yourself lifting from a place maybe of depression or sadness or anxiety. You find yourself experiencing that joy that you can so vividly paint that picture in your mind. You're like, wow, I remember what God did for me there. Man, that was so good. He was bringing me joy in that thing. God is good. Even when our circumstances are not, God is good. And then Pastor Matt and Pastor Roger were talking about, you know, sometimes we can be at a point in our spiritual walk where the Word is just really speaking to us. And we're like, wow, this is good. And then there's other times. We can't always be on a spiritual high. There's times where we pick up our Bible and we read it because we know we're supposed to, but it's just kind of falling flat. And I said, what do you do in those times? What do you do when you feel like the Lord's not speaking to you? You revisit the last thing He spoke to you. And you walk in that thing, and you continue to walk in that thing until he speaks to you again. So verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So when you found something that gives you joy, your relationship with Jesus should be right at the top of that list. And then you're going through a time in life where maybe you don't have joy. You go back to the thing that has joy and you rejoice. You re-experience that joy moment and you walk in it. In verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. The word supplication, not often used in today's language. Yet in the New King James and in the English Standard Version, the word is supplication. So I went to the Blue Letter Bible and I looked up, what is supplication? And in the simplest of terms, it's a petition. I know what those are. I have people come knock on my door for those all the time, or knock on my inbox via email or text message. Sign this petition. So, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. How? By prayer and petition. Petitions are interesting because petitions are court admissible. If you want to get a law changed, you go, you sign a bunch, get a bunch of people to sign a petition. Lawmakers look at it and say, hey, enough people care about this issue. Maybe if we want to stay in office, we care about it too. It'd be nice if they just cared about it because it was the right thing to care about. But they see enough people's signatures on that petition, they say, okay, we will submit that for consideration. So thinking about that from a legal sense, by prayers and petitions, let your requests be made known to God. God is a God of justice. Not fairness, but justice. He operates in a legal system. And though the devil is a liar and a cheat and a bunch of other things, he is very much about fairness and legality. So when you let your requests be made known by prayer and petitions, supplication, it's something that both have to abide by. Not saying that Satan plays fair or that he will. He'll try to weasel his way out of anything he can. It's his nature. But there's a pattern here. In this section of verse, we have a promise. When we practice thanksgiving, the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. We see that in verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we practice thanksgiving, the beginning of the verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Why would we be told to be anxious for nothing? Because much like Chicken Little, we are anxious about lots. So we have to be told, do not be anxious. But in everything, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving. When we pray, we ought to pray with the expectation that the prayer has been heard, the prayer will be answered, and therefore we give thanks. Even if we haven't seen it yet in our life, we give thanks. Why? Because we expect it to happen. Why? Because we've practiced being in the presence of God, much as we felt here this evening. We get that feeling of being in the presence of God. We fall in love with it, and we walk in it. And when we feel a little unsure on the edge, and we're not quite feeling that presence there, and our footing's not quite sure, we take a step back to where we know it was, and we walk in that presence. When we're walking in the presence with a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, what we're praying and asking for is going to line up with the heart of the Father. Jesus himself said, I can do nothing except what I see my Father in heaven has done. So when we're walking filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like we get this window into the heart of God. So our prayers line up with the heart of God. And because we're praying the will of God, we can pray and we can give thanks because we know it's going to happen. We don't need to pray, and this is not a judgment because I've prayed it myself. You know, Lord, if it's your will, if you could just do this one thing for me, I'd be so grateful. He wants to hear us, but we don't have to pray a timid prayer. So the promise is when we practice thanksgiving, the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. What does this mean? When you look for opportunities to give thanks, you find occasion to place your attention and your mind back upon God. When Peter called out to Jesus and said, Lord, if that is really you, call me out onto the water, and I will walk on the water too. And Jesus said, you're on. Come on, bud. When he focused on Jesus and stepped out of that boat, he wasn't thinking about walking on the water. He was just focused on God, and he was doing it. And then he wasn't focused on God. And he looked around, and he goes, what am I doing out of the boat? And at that point, he began to sink. Anxiety is like the storm of life raging around us. Lots can make us anxious if we choose to focus on it and look at it. Or we can give thanksgiving to God, putting our attention back on him and the things that he has done for us in the past, is doing for us now, and will do for us in the future. And we can continue to walk on that water. In Romans 8:6, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We need to practice being in the presence of God, staying in the presence of God, and fixing our mind upon him. Because when we look upon the world, Romans 8:6 tells us, death. But when we put our mind on him, we have peace. We have life. Who do we put our trust in? Some trust in chariots, but I trust in the name of the Lord my God. When we put our trust in him, we have an assurance because he is trustworthy. Unlike myself, unlike the person sitting next to you, unlike whoever's in the president's office at the moment, unlike any other earthly man, Jesus is trustworthy. Everything else that we could put our trust in is insufficient. The things that I think, I've got this, I can do this, I can fall on my face. Pastor Schaller, the last Wednesday of the month, last month when we listened into GGWO, he talked about being on your knees before God with your hands just raised and just being quiet in his presence. To bow your knees or to bow your head to lay yourself prostrate before the Lord is an act of submission. We can either do it willingly, or we can walk out arrogantly, trip in the mud, and fall face first. Either way, we're going to end up there, humble before God. I would rather do it by choice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Pastor Roger and Pastor Matt were talking about the law versus grace. And the law was created perfect. It was so perfect that when Moses went and communed with God to receive the law, and he came down off the mountain, his countenance was so bright that the people could not talk to him unless he put a veil over his face to dim it a little bit so they could stand to be in his presence. But his grace is even more. His grace is sufficient. It is sufficient for all my needs. When I am weak, then I am strong. You could almost say, when I am weak, he is strong. When I am weak, I am strong, for he is working in me. I thought about doing a little science experiment up here, but I knew I wouldn't have time. Capillary action, going back to high school biology, plants have this amazing capillary action. We used to do this project in school where we would take a Queen Anne's lace, which is a big, white, flat-capped flower, and we'd split the stem in half or in thirds with a razor blade. And then we would get cups of water, and we'd put in food coloring, red, blue, yellow, whatever color you wanted, and you'd put a piece of the stem in each of the different cups. And within 2 to 3 days' time, the capillary action would draw that up, and you would see the white flower turn red, blue, and yellow, if those were the colors you chose. When we walk in the presence of God, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are like a sponge. We are like that Queen Anne's lace, stepping into his presence and drawing from those deep waters of life. And when the world squeezes, instead of carnal, natural, fleshly responses, we give out Holy Spirit-filled responses. We give out prayer and supplication and thanksgiving and joy because we're in his presence. We are planting our feet in the deep waters. In 2 Corinthians 13, 4, the last verse, for though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. There's lots of things that we can become addicted to. Coffee, guilty. Caffeine, not so much. Sugar, check. I'm there. There's lots of worldly things. There's lots of spiritual things that we can be addicted to. My challenge to each of you tonight is to become addicted to walking in the presence of God. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that you loved us so much, that you died on the cross for us. You sent your one and only Son to pay the ultimate sacrifice, to be made a curse for our sake, to pay the debt we could never pay. We thank you that he didn't stay dead, but 3 days later he was raised from the dead. We thank you that he did not choose to stay and walk the face of this earth, but that he ascended into heaven to be our mediator on our behalf, our go-between from the throne room to us, from us to the throne room. Thank you, Lord, for the law, but even more so, thank you for grace. If there's anyone listening to this message, either here or on the internet, who has not yet given their life to Christ, who has not yet said, I am a sinner, I am insufficient, I need you, Lord. It is simple. The ways of Jesus are always simple. God, forgive me, for I've sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help me to walk in your presence. Help me to be more like you. Make me a child of God. Make me a disciple. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, please reach out to the church. We'd love to get you a New Testament. We'd love to rejoice with you as the angels in heaven are rejoicing now.